It's great to see you. It's great to be together. Pray the Lord will meet with us and bless us today. I've asked Brother Tony if he would lead us in prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this morning, this time that you've given us to come together, Lord. As we gather, we ask that you would remember, Lord, that we are in need of your mercy and of your grace. And Lord, in our flesh, Lord, we are foul and ruined. Lord, there is no good thing in us. So, Lord, we must look to you for life and everything good. And we pray this morning that by your Spirit that you would teach us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and reveal them to us, Lord, that we might love him and, Lord, that we might love one another, we pray. Bless Brother Gabe as he stands this morning. And all the other men, Lord, that you have called and put into the pulpit, Lord, to declare, Lord, thy word to your people. These things we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. While I was at the conference last weekend, one of the men who preached mentioned the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I got to dwelling on that and what the Lord said to Adam concerning that. And I'd like for us to look at it for our Bible study this morning. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God." God. In the beginning, God. God, Father, Son, and Spirit. When we see God, that is Father, Son, and Spirit. God created the heaven and the earth. God created, and then you can read on down in these verses, God created everything. God created everything. If you look at verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us, Father, Son, and Spirit, make man in our image after our likeness." Down in verse 29, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." You're welcome to eat it. You will eat it. Verse 30, "And to every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day." It was very good. Everything he did, everything he made. He said, "I've given you every herb and every tree on the face of this earth for food. You can freely lay hold of it. Take it, eat it, consume it." In chapter 2, our Lord clarified, "But one." All right? "But one. You can have all of it. You can have all of it. Except for this one tree." Look at chapter 2, verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Every tree, and he singles out two of them, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 17 says, And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, everybody knows that the tragedy that took place in the Garden of Eden was the sin of disobedience. Everybody knows that. Adam sinned against God when he disobeyed God. Romans 5, verse 12 says, By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It goes on in Romans 5 to say, By one man's offense, death reigned by one. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Many people hear that and they say, That's not fair. He did it, not me. But here's what most people don't understand. This is what most people don't realize. He is me. I am him. I mean that literally. An oak tree grows and matures, and an acorn falls and dies in the ground. And a new oak tree starts coming up. That's the same tree. We ever thought about that? That's the same tree. That's not a different tree. That's not a new tree that's very similar to the old tree. That's the same tree. The very seed of the old tree. And every man and woman born on this earth is the very seed of Adam. Being his seed, I committed the sin of disobeying God. In him, I did. It was my fault. It was your fault. In him. We did it in him. Now, here's what I want us to consider this morning. What exactly was Adam's disobedience against God? We know that he disobeyed God. What exactly was his disobedience against God? What did God command him not to do? And what did Adam do that caused him to disobey God? And I want us to really understand this. I want us to really understand this. Men and women are still doing this to this day. What Adam did, men and women are still doing it to this day. And God is still angry with this disobedience against his commandment. I want to dig in deep to this for just a minute. I'm not going to be long. I want to be very brief. I'm going to try to be very to the point. But let's see if the Spirit of the Lord will reveal this to us. What did God command, and what commandment did Adam break? Look with me again at Genesis 2. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Every tree, and again, two trees were specifically pointed out, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life, the Lord said, you can have it. All right, the tree of life. The Lord said, you can have it. You can eat from it. But he said in verse 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam partook of the fruit of that tree, and he died. He spiritually died. And the moment he died, and this is what I want us to get a hold of. The moment he died, he could no longer take part. He could no longer be a partaker of the tree of life. That's what chapter 3, verse 22 told us. That was very important. Look at it again. Genesis 3, 22. The Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take hold also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God said, no more. You can't touch it. Not now. Not now. I believe this is one of the most important things that we could ever see and believe in the Scripture. I strongly believe that this is one of the most important things we could ever see and believe in the Scripture. Here's the reason why. If we are wrong on what happened in the fall, we will be wrong on it all. We will be. If we don't understand this, we won't understand any of it. I'm telling you, this is so. People who claim to be lost need to understand this. And I know that's a very small group of people. People who claim to be lost need to understand this. But I'll tell you this. People who claim to be saved need to understand this more. People who claim to be saved need to understand this more. If a soul is going to be driven away from God, it's going to be because of this right here. It'll be because of this right here. So may God reveal it, cause us to understand this, and may He apply it to our life right now. These two trees represent two very important things, two great things, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is life? What is life? Here's the answer. Christ is life. Christ is life. If we ask the question, what is the way? This would be the answer, Christ. If we ask, what is the truth? Pilate did. He asked him, what is truth? Here's the answer, Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that hath the Son hath life, because He is life. The tree of life is Christ. Tree of life is Christ. It's mentioned in Genesis at the beginning. It's mentioned in Revelation at the end. It's brought up again in the book of Revelation. Revelation 22. I'm going to paraphrase. Don't turn. I'm going to paraphrase this. But it says, blessed is every redeemed child of God who has been redeemed from the curse of Adam. No more curse. And has been allowed to enter in through the gates into the holy heavenly city. Because they've been given the right and the ability to lay hold on the tree of life again. That's Christ. They've been allowed and they've been made able to lay hold of Christ. Adam lost his right and his ability to lay hold of Christ. That's what he lost. And it's all because he laid hold of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what is the knowledge of good and evil? Here's the answer. It's the law. Okay? It's the law. Understanding, setting forth the establishment of good and bad, right and wrong. That's the law. The only way that a police officer can discern whether he ought to shake a man's hand and pat him on the back and send him on his way or cuff him and stuff him is he has to have an understanding of the law. He has to have a discernment of the law. Now, this is what God told Adam. He said, everything is yours. Life is yours freely. Just don't try to lay hold on the law. It was all good. Even the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was good. The law's good. There's nothing wrong with the law. But he said, Adam, don't you try to do what only Christ can do. Don't you put your hope in and your trust in and your confidence for eternal life in trying to fulfill what only Christ can fulfill. Only Christ is good. We're only good in Him. Only Christ is right, righteous. Only Christ is holy. Only Christ can fulfill the law and satisfy God for His people. And for us to lay hold of the law is for us to try to add our works to Christ's. And God won't have it. He will not have it. As soon as Adam and Eve laid hold of the law for holiness, the adversary said, and this, I hope this will be an eye-opening thing for many. You know, we hear and are told religion, and sometimes it's hard to undo a lot of what was told to us throughout our life. Sometimes we carry a lot of, I think the word is baggage, with us because we've been told things and we thought that's how it was. But just see if this makes sense to you, okay? The adversary told Eve, if you eat this, you'll be like him. Isn't that what the adversary said? And that's what false preachers are still telling men and women to this day. They'll say, if you will lay hold of the law, you'll be like God. You want to be like God, don't you? Don't you want to be like God? Lay hold of the law. The do's and don'ts of the law. You got to partake of the law. As soon as Adam and Eve laid hold of the law for their own holiness and their own righteousness before God. My own. I don't want His. I want my own. I don't need the righteousness of Christ. I'll take my own. As soon as they did that, it caused them to immediately start trying to produce their own works. They sewed fig leaves together, trying to cover themselves. Why did they do that? They never had to do that before. Right after that, the gospel came to them when the Lord made coats of skin. He slayed an animal. He shed blood. And He took the innocence of that substitute and laid it on them. The gospel came to them, and the Lord told them in that, you're covered in Christ. You don't need to sew your own fig leaves together. You're covered in Christ. You always were. You always will be. You don't have to work your own righteousness. Christ is your righteousness. The problem with all error, starting in the garden, and it'll be the problem until this world ends. All error is the result of man trying to lay hold of the law. All error. Man in great error wrongly thinks that in order to be like God, he has to lay hold of the law. Thinks he has to add the law to Christ. That's what man thinks he has to do. Well, I have to add the law to Christ. God said, I will not have it. Man will not lay hold on my Son and the law for acceptance with me. It's Christ alone. It is Christ alone or nothing. Do you remember while our Lord walked this earth, do you remember what tree he cursed? He went up for fruit and it didn't bear any, so he cursed the tree and it came back and it was withered and dead. It was the fig tree. Fig leaves represent man's works. And God cursed them. And he said, it's Christ alone or nothing. Christ alone or nothing. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 10 says, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's how it was for Adam. That's how it is still to this day. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We cannot fulfill the law. And if we break one, we break them all. That's the problem. Verse 11 says, But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Faith is looking to Christ. And the law is not of faith. The law is not looking to Christ. The law points us to Christ. But it's us, not us. Looking to Christ. The man that doeth them shall live in them. You make that bed, you have to sleep in it. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The reason Christ came was for the purpose of taking that law out of our hands into his own. In order to fulfill all of the good that needed to be done. And in order to fulfill and satisfy the payment and the penalty and the suffering for all the evil that had been done. And that's what Christ did. That's what he did. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the curse that laying hold on the knowledge of good and evil brought to us. Laying hold of that. I plead that for my justification before God. Look with me at Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, verse 19, it says, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's all it can do is expose our sin to us. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That's the tree of life. That's Christ. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Everything points to Christ. Everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. Everything in the New Testament points to Christ. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That word means a bloody victim. Through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What that means is, the law was appeased in Christ's redemption of us. The law was satisfied. The Lord did not forgive sinners. He saved sinners. How did He do that? He removed their sin from them and laid it on Himself. And the one who died was the one who bore the sin. And the ones who enter in are the ones who don't have a speck of it on them. He was just in justifying His people. So verse 27 says, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. Verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by Christ, by faith, faith in Christ, with out the deeds of the law. That means lay hold of the tree of life alone, Christ alone. Every time you hear somebody say, or if you think it in your own mind, if this ever comes through your mind, if you say, well, I know that Christ did all the work in salvation, but somehow I have to add the law back in. Somehow I have to see something in me that is obedient to the law. Don't do it. Gabe, are you against the law? God forbid. I love thy law. But don't lay hold, according to the commandment of God Almighty, don't lay hold of the works of the law as the cause of our salvation or the evidence of our salvation. Well, if you want to be saved, you better stop sinning and obey the law. No. Christ is my salvation. Purposed before the foundation of the world. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It's not the cause, it's not the evidence. Well, how do you know if you're saved? Well, do you still sin? Then you're not saved. Not true, thank God. It's not the cause and it's not the evidence. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Christ is the cause, and that gift He gives to us to believe He is the cause. That's the evidence. Faith in Christ. Lay hold of Christ alone. His works alone. That's the cause, and He is the evidence. Faith in Him is the evidence. Now, do we make void the law because we cannot fulfill the law? God forbid. But that's another message for another time. All right. When it comes to our eternal life, it's Christ alone. It's Christ alone. We cannot mix works and grace. We can't do it. We cannot lay hold of the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If we do that, we'll ruin everything and we'll die in our sin. And I'm talking about, this happens all the time. All error. Men can have wrong doctrine and lay hold of the law and ruin everything. Men can have correct doctrine and lay hold of the law and ruin everything. They can stand up and talk about total depravity and unconditional election and limited atonement and irresistible grace and perseverance of the saints and say, now let's add the law to the back of that, and they ruin everything. They ruin everything. It's Christ alone. Life and acceptance with God is in Christ alone. Pray the Lord will keep us right there.